Hello again, TPN, Matt and Adam, back with you after a little bit of a hiatus, wouldn't you say, Matt?
Yeah, maybe we'll call this season two, I guess.
Sure, season two, or we could call it one of those split seasons like The Walking Dead do. You know, we have like eight episodes here and eight episodes there, or whatever the hell's going on out in TV land. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about our magnificent and awesome industry of aviation. It's a very special episode that we have today. Liz Duca, the founder and creator of Preflight Camp. This is specifically a camp just for girls, and it excites me because I want my daughter to participate. So, Liz, how are you today? And why don't you tell us about yourself, and we'll launch into all the good stuff that Preflight Camp's all about.
Yeah, welcome, Liz.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of this, and congratulations to both of you for creating the pilot network for all of us to be a part of, and I'm really just excited for this opportunity.
We just give the vectors. The network created itself.
We don't really do anything, as Matt says. Matt does some stuff. He basically tells me I don't do anything. So that's where we're at. You guys and gals are the real heroes of the pilot network. So tell us about Preflight Camp, how this all got started.
So Preflight is a nonprofit summer camp for girls in Texas, and it's for ages 11 to 14. Our main mission is to transform girls' beliefs about gender roles, build their self-esteem, and inspire them to become pilots. So I'm a former Air Force pilot. When I entered aviation, 3% of pilots were women in the Air Force. And I experienced firsthand the importance of really finding those female role models and mentors to kind of guide and help me throughout my career.
Did you grow up as the cliche kid who always wanted to be a pilot?
I didn't grow up imagining that I would be a pilot. I was in college, undecided major, and I had some friends who were in the Air Force and went into ROTC, met my friend Summer. We're talking about what we're going to do in the Air Force, and she's like, I'm going to be a pilot. And at that point, I didn't even know I could go into the Air Force and be a pilot. This is kind of how uninformed I was. So it was through meeting Summer, really, the first female peer that was a pilot already. She had a private pilot's license. I saw myself in her and immediately believed that being a pilot was possible because of what she had attained. And so from that point, kind of got the wheels in my mind turning about applying. I went to the cadre there at Texas State University and put an application in, and kind of the rest is history. So I went into the Air Force and went to fly the Learjet 35 C-21s at Ramstein. Then I went to the KC-10 and finished up my career as an instructor at the Inter-American Air Forces Academy in San Antonio. So I separated from the Air Force and always really believed that my position as a pilot, especially as a woman, I had the capacity and the ability to really inspire girls around me that maybe didn't grow up necessarily imagining that they would be a pilot, but that through their interaction with me would change their perception about what's attainable in life. And so I had this opportunity separating from the Air Force. I was given a nice severance package, which I traveled a little bit with.
Good.
Had to reward myself. So did some backpacking in South America, but really throughout that time was still volunteering with different aviation organizations and really knew that this was the time to create something that I could bring women that I served with in the Air Force into, and also as a way to honor female aviators from the past. The women Air Force service pilots always inspired me. When I was getting my private pilot's license, it was in Abilene, so just near Sweetwater, Texas, where they trained. So I went to the museum, having never heard of these remarkable women, and saw their photos in the hangar, and it made it even more real for me that here these women flew every military airplane during World War II, and what they achieved, it just, again, was that continual exposure to women that are doing this. The success of a role model, it's so important for the person they're trying to inspire to first identify with them, and then for that role model to show them that what they've achieved is attainable. And so through my interaction with other women that were pilots and then learning about the Women Air Force Service pilots, I really began to just believe that I could achieve it. And so the camp goes back to that I created it to honor the legacy of the Women Air Force Service pilots and create a community of women to inspire the next generation. When I joined the Air Force, I mentioned 3% of pilots were women. When you look at the total number of FAA certificated pilots, only 6.6% of them are women, and it's really stagnated. And so that, in addition to the pilot shortage, there is a need for focused, deliberate efforts to really provide outreach for youth. And it, we don't want it to be just a touch and go experience. We're trying to create something that we continue to stay involved in their life. Right now, pre-flight is geared towards 11 to 14-year-olds, but it'd be great with support that we could eventually expand and have a program for girls in elementary school, middle school, high school, so that it's that continual developmental outreach throughout their youth, so that when they are at the age of applying to universities, that they think about programs that have aviation as an option. And we're also looking to have a mentorship program so that girls that attend, when they leave camp, they're assigned a mentor that can kind of stay a part of their life for that first year after camp, just to continue to provide that guidance and mentorship. So there's lots of things we want to do with it. And right now it's 5 days. It's at Texas State University in San Marcos. And we're going to be having our next camp the 26th of June to the 30th of June, 2018. But I don't want to be super long-winded. I could kind of go on and on.
How many campers have gone through the program already?
So we had our first camp in 2016. It was essentially us just testing the idea. So we had a small group of girls, a handful of girls from the local area in San Antonio that came. We were a little bit late in being able to get it advertised. We created it in December of 2015, and then we had our first camp that following summer. So there were a little bit of delays that we encountered, but it was still important. Like the women that I brought in to help with it, it was really important for us, even though we had a small number of girls. It just takes one encounter to really change someone's life. And so we felt that it was still important for us. None of us lived in San Antonio. The camp's in San Marcos, but we didn't live in that local area. We all flew or drove from other locations to put this camp on. And the feedback from the camp was so positive, and it really highlighted and reiterated the importance of doing it. The girls that attended, 100% of the campers said that through attending the camp, they felt more confident, that they now believe that being a pilot was possible, that the aviation concepts that were taught showed them that, you know, they can achieve anything and you know, set a goal and reach that and ways to do that. And so we, you know, descended upon San Marcos, Texas. I'm an alumni from Texas State, so we have support and sponsorship through the ROTC department there to have the camp on campus. And we want to continue that model. We think that universities that have specifically aviation programs, it would benefit them to have programs like this at their school for the girls in their local communities to, you know, build their demographic and enrollment for their programs.
Well, I wanted to back up here because you talked about your first campus in 2016, and Basically the idea came into fruition in December of 2015.
Right.
How does one go from being a pilot, which we're very good at operating checklists and machinery? We're not necessarily the best on the planet when it comes to taking an original thought and running it from cradle to fully sprinting.
To execution, how does
one, yeah, the execution of it. How does one not only do that, but you said get the inspiration, and I think it's interesting there because it wasn't so much inspiration. You just went out and did it. Yeah, I mean, you didn't even have time to be inspired to make a camp. You just said, "All right, we're going to do this, and let's do it now." How do you do that? Who helps you through that process?
Well, you know, the idea was essentially in my mind from the moment I entered the Air Force. So it was something that I had always thought about, wanting to create something with the women I served with to honor the Women Air Force Service pilots. Okay. So I had a lot of time to think about it. But once I got out, I essentially approached the other women that had separated from the Air Force as well. And I was like, let's do this. There's strength in numbers, and we really encourage and inspire each other and motivate each other. And so it was soul searching. We went, actually, one of the instructors, Kristen, who you guys met, We were on a backpacking trip in Colombia. And so it was just a lot of brainstorming at that point. This was in April of 2015. So, you know, I return, we're in now in the fall. I'm researching ways to create the camp. Do I create it as a nonprofit? Do I create it under a program of an existing nonprofit? And so there were a lot of different things that we were exploring. Ultimately, I initially created it just as an LLC. It was like the quickest, cleanest way. I was like, we just need to get this created and legitimize ourselves. So that was how it was initially started. And that allowed us to hold the first camp. So it was just, you know, the women around me that I brought in are just amazing and so motivated. And you have those highs and lows of, can I do this? There's so much work involved, but we just back each other up and pick up where one leaves off. And we were able to do it because of the women that are involved with Preflight with me. It absolutely would be impossible without them. So we kind of just divided and conquered and had that first camp. It was small, but it was really successful. The parents had such great things to say and such positive feedback. And so it just really kept us going. Now, you know, we got into Aero Innovate this past summer. We were able to pitch the camp to a community of aviation enthusiasts and hopeful potential sponsors in the future. And now we've converted to a nonprofit. So we're definitely growing, and we're going to have 40 campers this next summer. We have the application window. You can go to the website, www.preflightcamp.com. There's buttons there for you to apply. If you have a daughter or a neighbor or, you know, someone that you know, there's lots of pilots out there who have, like you, Adam, a little girl that you want to see go to the camp. And I think one thing to bring in for us is that it is an aviation camp, but it isn't just about aviation. You know, we focus on aviation related topics, but it's all about bringing it back to life lessons and using it to build their self-esteem and really creating these fearless girls to just know that they can achieve anything. You don't have to necessarily like stereotypical boy things, or it doesn't have to be a career that only boys attempt. Once they see a group of women that do this, they're going to begin to imagine themselves in those roles. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you can't be what you can't see. So if there aren't women out there in these career fields doing these sorts of outreach efforts, then the little girls aren't going to really be able to see themselves in those roles. And so it's really important that we do this work and inspire that next generation. That's what we're hoping to achieve and having our next camp, the 26th of June to the 30th of June of 2018 with 40 campers. And we're really excited.
Your enthusiasm is truly not only excites me, especially as being a dad of a little girl, but just, you mentioned a couple things that are so close to Matt and I's heart with the Pilot Network, is we couldn't do anything without each other. Mm-hmm. It's that teammate approach that really helps you. And having gone through iterations of getting ready to take on new jobs, just deployments, different work aspects in aviation, you can't really get through it without a good team, whether it's at home on the home front or out in the field somewhere. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I heard through all that was this awesome support structure, staff that you guys worked together and figured it out as you went along. But I wanted to ask, because you said you had a small camp that first year, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. So two questions. The first one is super easy. The second one is a little bit more challenging. How many campers showed up? That's the easy one.
Okay. So four campers were a part of camp. Like literally a handful. When I said a handful, they all came from different backgrounds. And so it was also really neat for them to just interact with each other and create these new friendships at camp. We encourage all the girls just to essentially follow their passion. Whatever is in your heart, just do that. For us, it was aviation, but there's so many things that a girl can get from just attending through the mentorship and the intrinsic sort of aspect of the camp. But she initially wanted to be an engineer, and we were definitely encouraging her in that path. And I talked to her mom over the summer while I was at Oshkosh, and she left the camp just totally changing her whole direction, wants to be a pilot. And another girl that came without even really having an interest in aviation. She wants to be a pilot. All of them, four of them, walked away from the camp saying they wanted to be pilots now because of the environment they recreated, this attainable possibility that they never thought was an option for them is now a realistic goal.
Just like you said, being able to see that in action and being exposed to it early on, I mean, that's what makes all the difference.
Right. And, you know, when they go to the camp, so we have STEM-based aviation-focused topics, aerodynamics, flight controls, navigation, weather. We also do, you know, relating them back to the life lessons. So we have these really healthy dialogues afterwards, you know, when we talk about aerodynamics and the four forces of flight. We also talk about how do those relate to your life? What are the four forces of your life? What brings you up? What lifts you up? What drags you down? What motivates you, thrusts you forward, and or what, you know, drags you down? And so we have these really thoughtful dialogues to relate it, the aviation, back to how they can apply it to their life. But then it's seen as believing. And so at the end of camp, we pick the girls flying. And so it's not just about talking about this idea that you can be a pilot. It's getting them at the controls of an airplane with a female pilot and showing them that it's real. It's not just an idea. And the way they were just so excited. And, you know, we told them, okay, when you're taking down the, as we're taking off on the runway and we, you know, put the throttles up, think of that as you've got your goal, you're sort of putting that in motion and you're lifting off or taking off into your future. And it's all possibility now. And it just makes it worthwhile when you recognize the impact that you can have on just one girl's life by, you know, an encounter like that. So it's really special.
See, and it's funny, you almost answered my second question. So it's not even as much on the spot, but I still get to ask it. So from that first camp, and this is, if maybe you can speak for the collective of counselors and support staff that you built to build this camp, what is the one distinct memory that really pops out at you? I mean, it could be funny. It could be something that was, you know, really touching, but I always like to hear something that's memorable, because I mean, I have memories throughout my career that are way more impactful to me than others, or that are funnier than others. What's your big memory from that first camp?
So I would say one of the other things, you know, bringing it back to, it's not just about aviation at the camp. We like to bring in aspects about art and things as well to kind of create a good balance. So after one evening activity, we had the girls kind of all lay down the grass, and I read them the poem High Flight, and I had them close their eyes, and afterwards, you know, open their eyes. Each of them painted a picture about what they were inspired by when they listened to the poem, and sort of kind of illustrate what they were seeing, the colors and the images. And then we had been talking, just the group of us, the pilots, the female instructors, about our patches and pilot training and how we would create a patch together as a group. And the girls just on their own created a patch for their first little camp. And it was, it was a combination of one of the illustrations that the little girls had painted when they were listening to High Flight. And so we made that patch and ironed it on all their t-shirts. And we want to make it a tradition that each group kind of creates their pre-flight camp patch to have with them. So that was really special, because they just, you know, it was interesting the way they came together and just worked as a team. I mean, we do a low ropes challenge course at the camp. And so we do try to provide opportunities for that teamwork, but just to see how that naturally developed on their own, and just one evening are all in each other's little dorm room and they're making this patch that we have no idea. And we're having like a meeting down the hall, and they just come in, you know, we want to show you this. And it was just really cool to see. I mean, even one of the little girls, we kind of were talking about call signs and nicknames, and she could eat like endless amounts of pizza. And she was super, super tiny. Like this girl, Natasha, was really tiny, very petite. She could eat, you know, anyone under the table. And so we called her pizza legs. We said she had like a hollow leg and would just like store all the pizza in it. Sure. And so on the patch, they even drew like a little pizza as a little joke for her nickname, and it was just really cute. So that was probably one of the more special moments.
That's cool. But, do you call them campers or cadets, or do they?
Yeah, it was, campers, you know, pre-flight campers. And we get pre-flight girls, kind of, we refer to them at. And we want to start, you know, with the image that we have in the logo, kind of take off with that and incorporate it more as something that we can have with us and take pictures of her around different places, this pre-flight girl.
I think one of those things that you can look forward to is when one of those little girls come back as a camp counselor, and then...
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of like going back to that community. You know, we want, we don't want it to be a touch and go experience. And so creating that mentor program for after camp, you know, we, I still keep in touch with the parents and we talk to them and, you know, check in with the girls, but they're going to come back for, like, they're going to come back to the graduation day that we have at the end of camp next year. And so really keeping them a part of that community to inspire even girls that are in younger grades than them. There was one, sorry for the dog. There was one little girl who had attended, an instructor brought her daughter. So she was younger, but you kind of saw how the girls at camp kind of took her under their wing and were kind of mentoring her in a way as well. And so we do imagine that the girls that attend, the experience that they had, we know it was so impactful. Bringing them back next year is kind of the first step so that they can show the girls that are there for the first time, you know, what they are doing to continue to keep aviation alive in their everyday lives. And then, yeah, one day when they're older, having them come back as counselors, you know, would be amazing.
I bet. And that's exactly what I think we see going forward here. So this is your chance now to go out and ask our network, our, all of our network, the pilot network, how can they get involved to help out pre-flight camp?
So we definitely want to be able to make pre-flight a possibility for any girl. And so there obviously are costs associated with the camp that are incorporated in a girl's registration fees. And so we want, we have 40 girls that are attending this year, or we have spots for 40 girls to attend. And so our goal is to allow 20 girls to attend on the scholarship. And so if somebody wants to sponsor a girl to attend, they can go to the website and donate, provide an opportunity for someone who has a financial need or who otherwise wouldn't be able to attend the camp to be able to come this next summer. And so through the donate page, if you pledge $950, even if you just pledge a dollar, if everybody in the pilot network donated $1. Matt told me there's 13,000 member, or, you know,
16.
Members, 16, sorry. So one person, every person in the pilot network donated a dollar, we would have enough to send 15 girls to camp. So, and a beautiful thing to have happen. So donating is one way. We're going to have a hashtag Giving Tuesday campaign on the 28th of November. And so that's kind of like the Black Friday, but for people that want to support a charity or a community organization, they can specifically use the 28th of November to donate. We also, if you live in the San Antonio area and you want to help out with any outreach that we do, we always need volunteers with that as well. So we're going to be at the Joint Base San Antonio Air Show the 4th and 5th of November. And I was going to be going to help out Erica, our other camp counselor, but now I'm going to be in training in Hawaii. So if anybody, you know, wants to help out with any kind of outreach opportunities that we have, you can send an email through our website and we'll get in contact with you. We're going to be at Wings Over Dallas the 6th through 8th of October. So through Oshkosh, we met the director of the WASP Museum, the National WASP Museum. And has been very generous at partnering with us. And so they've asked us to share booth space with them. And we're going to have an activity, a Morse code activity for girls that go through to kind of teach them about what the WASP did and also to inform them about the camp. So if you're in Dallas, the 6th through the 8th, come by. We'll be sharing the booth with the Women Air Force Service Pilot National Museum. And if you have a daughter or know someone that would like to apply, have them go to the website and write an essay. If there's a financial need, include that in the essay and get that submitted by the end of December. And again, you know, pre-flight isn't just about aviation. It's beneficial for any girl. We've got STEM, we have self-esteem that we bring in. And so it's kind of a one-stop shop for a parent to send their girl, have her hang out with really fun, amazing female pilots for the week, get some mentorship, and be exposed to an idea and a possibility that she might never have previously considered.
Right. So one of the things, and Liz, I didn't tell you this before, but I've already created a group within the Pilot Network app. So for the our mobile app, the on iPhone and Android, to where you have your own private group in there, and it's kind of a subgroup of the Pilot Network specifically dedicated for pre-flight and your guys' use. So we want to support you, obviously,
awesome,
as much as we can. So when we're done here, I'll introduce you to how to get hooked
Thank
up with
you.
That and set that up.
Matt, that's amazing.
Yeah, we're kind
Thank
of hoping
you so much.
That you can use that a little bit to kind of keep in touch with some of your counselors and,
yes,
and anyone in the network who wants to get involved can touch base with you there as well. So
that's amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, Liz, this is our little chance here to kind of go down a quick different path. I've wanted to copy all my favorite podcast people out there. So I created some questions that we kind of ask here on the podcast. They're fairly new. We like to call them our memory items. I think we've only done this once or twice before. So here we go. All right. And just first thing that comes to the top of your mind, you don't have to go into too much depth here.
I'm so bad about this kind of stuff.
That's okay. So is Matt. Ask him. I'm great at it.
Yeah,
right,
I'm
Matt?
Terrible at it.
Yeah. Not really. He is much better than I am at this stuff. So let's go with number one. What is something that our listening audience or should read or learn today to improve their position as an aviator or a person? And you are probably in the most unique place of all that, because I know that you're younger than Matt and I, and it's never polite to ask a lady her age. Number one. Number two, you have done more in less time than I can say almost anybody else on the network. So what's the one thing they should read or learn today to help improve their position?
Well, I'm probably the worst person to ask about something like that, because I'm mostly motivated and inspired by just conversations that I have with people and the people that I meet. But I would say they should go to the Pilot Network and get the magazine and read the article about pre-flight that Kristen Franke wrote up, because it's got some really good information about where we're at and as far as the aviation industry with our pilot void, and also educate themselves on the underrepresentation of women in aviation. I would say most people don't really realize how small the numbers are. And I think that once they learn about that, they will want to support organizations like ours.
Look at that self-marketing guru. She must be a Gary Vaynerchuk acolyte, Matt. That was some awesome self-marketing. I liked it. You fit it in very nicely.
Yeah, it was perfect.
All right. Perfect. So the next question is, what is something that you would have told the pre-flight Liz that she must absolutely do put herself in a better position than she's right now today?
I think that networking is such a big part of, one.
We couldn't agree more, by the way.
Yeah, we are totally.
Yeah, totally. I mean, but really, I think, when I was in college, this word networking was a little bit intimidating, but I think that just through naturally meeting people, everybody wants to help each other. I think just intuitively, and so putting yourself out there, not being afraid to find ways that you can help people, and then through that other doors will open, and being able to expand your network of people to get you to where you want to go. And obviously the Pilot Network is a great way to start to tap into communities like that. But I didn't take networking as seriously when I was, in college or in the Air Force. And it wasn't until I got out of the Air Force and realized that there's this whole world out there that I need to navigate. I've found the people I've met along the way have definitely led me to new directions. And that's probably advice that I would have given Liz 10 years ago. is to start to do that more. But I think that you don't have to necessarily think about it such a formal way. Networking usually just happens naturally. I mean, when I think of the way Kristen met the two of you guys, going to the KC-135 and striking up a conversation, it's led to this opportunity. So you never know who you might meet and where that conversation might lead you. So
that's that. I like that advice. Speaking of advice, what was the most helpful advice you've ever received?
So my dad was a Command Master Chief in the Navy, and I always observed him growing up just taking care of people that worked for him or that he worked with. And so the advice he always gave me was to take care of your people. And as I became an officer in the Air Force, that was obviously something that we get told a lot, but realizing the importance of that, seeing how, what that really means. When I have been in situations where I've been working with a group of people, being able to empathize with them and doing everything you can to help each other, then when you are in need, they're there to back you up and have your back. And that's definitely been something that I've experienced, even just with the women that I do with, that I am in pre-flight with. Taking care of each other, taking care of your people is good advice that my dad definitely gave me, and that I saw the benefits and the importance of. You know, you get by with a little help from your friends, so mm-hmm. A little Beatles quote.
Amen to that. And then finally, your parting shot, last thing. This is your last chance to put anything else out there. It can be pre-flight related, can be Liz related, it can be Air Force related, it could be aviation related, or it could be none of the above. You can say whatever you want right here. Let these people know what you need to get off your shoulders. Tell them your last own memory item.
I would say we're in a really unique position as pilots to inspire people, and it's our job, you know, every day just flying, but we're especially female pilots, we're essentially unicorns. I mean, there's 6% of us. And when it comes to airline pilots, 4% are eligible to fly for the airlines. And so when you are in a situation where you might be able to just interact with someone that you're sitting next to on an airplane or a young kid that you see, just kind of take that opportunity, because you never know what that interaction might lead to. And so I would just encourage pilots, female pilots especially, to do that. And if you want to be a part of pre-flight, reach out to us. We want to build that cadre of mentors. And again, going to preflightcamp.com and donating, we want as many girls to attend as possible. And, so through your donation, we'll be able to sponsor more girls to attend and inspire girls to take off into their future.
Well, I think that leads into a perfect segue to what Matt and I want to say to you. Thank you so much, Liz. This is such a cool and unique thing that you're doing. We love to talk to people like you who are doing something a little different than the rest of us, the average norm, who just go and fly our line. One of the things that I got to do the other day was I was flying a trip to Amsterdam. I think it was Amsterdam. I don't really remember. And there was a woman whose daughter was about 11, 12 years old, and she really wanted to go up and see the cockpit. And she was very inquisitive about more than just, oh, what do you guys do? How does it feel like when you land? Stuff like that. She actually asked questions like, what makes the airplane fly? And I said, I have to look that up. And she was very...
That's very considered for...
She was very, like I said, inquisitive. And we let her do a lot of the pre-flight, sit in the captain's seat. It was really cool. And I started talking to her mom, and I said, I need you to go to this website, Preflight Camp. I go, listen, I know only a little bit about them, but the little bit I've met, and this is when we first met you guys, I said, I am so impressed that I think your daughter would love this. And she was like, oh, this is so cool, and it's awesome.
Yay.
And I saw the reaction, and Matt and I talked immediately after that. Matt went to your website, checked out everything that you guys are doing, and thought, wow, this is really cool. So we want to announce that TPN is offering one scholarship for the girls. So we're all in. You guys got 39 now that you got to figure out. So TPN's one of 40, hopefully, and we'll leave the rest up to you. We just want to know that we're behind you like we are behind all the pilots on the pilot network. And we hope that you just grow and blossom and you have pre-flight camps in 50 states by the time that Lydia comes around. So to,
and more importantly, that you come back on the podcast and tell us how it's going, and just on a regular basis, join us and help inspire, because I think what you're doing is pretty amazing for the perspective of inspiring kids, but also an underrepresented demographic in the aviation career field. I mean, I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I am just speechless to hear that you guys are going to sponsor a girl. I'm so touched, and thank you so much for wanting to do that. You are going to change a young girl's life. So I really just thank you so much for this opportunity. And I do want to come back on once we have the camp in June and let you guys know how it went. And the girl that comes to camp on the scholarship will definitely love to have her on as well, if that can somehow happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Done deal. So Liz, why don't you throw it all back out there, information, where they can go to sign up, check out the camp stuff, how they can get a hold of you, and that kind of stuff, so people can go out there and do that outreach and make sure they get all their due diligence in investigating how cool pre-flight camp is and how Liz Duke is changing the lives of women everywhere.
So if you visit preflightcamp.com, www.preflightcamp.com, we'll have ways for you to donate and also to apply. Your daughter or a young girl that you know can go and submit an application essay. We are currently accepting 40 campers to attend for next June. Camp is going to be the 26th of June to the 30th of June, 2018, and we are accepting applications until the end of December. So make sure you go to preflightcamp.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Preflight Camp. That we'll have more information on our website for campaigns that we're doing, hashtag Giving Tuesday on the 28th of November, and then look out for us at Wings Over Dallas the 6th through 8th of October. If you want to shoot me an email directly, I'm at theliz@preflightcamp.com. Definitely visit the website if anything.
If they need to, they can get a hold of us at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org or community.thepilotnetwork.org.
There's about a million ways to do that nowadays. I just like to punch in Google. Sometimes I just punch in Google to get a hold of Matt, and I say The Pilot Network, and something comes up, and I'm able to talk to him. Well, we want to thank Liz. Matt and I really enjoyed talking to her. You guys heard that. That is enthusiasm. That is sheer joy in aviation that sometimes we kind of lose as the years go by. Let's kind of regain that. Hopefully, we're gonna hit on a couple of those topics coming up here. So, until next time, network. Make sure you keep the shiny side up and maybe have a nice refreshing drink of your choice when you land. Take care and fly safe, everybody.